Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Hey, what a joy it's been over these last few weeks to look at some of the different promises of God. Have you been enjoying this series as we've been reminded of some things that are familiar to us and are possibly maybe new to you? And this morning I want to look at a really famous promise, a very well-known one. But before we get to our scripture this morning, I think it's good to remind ourselves that our promises from God are to give us hope and are to give us a positive outlook in our future. That's so important that we remember that. God has got good for us. Do you believe that this morning? That He has got good in store for each and every one of us. Do you ever feel that you are battered by life? Do you ever feel that circumstances are driving you along in a certain direction? Do you ever feel that maybe we're just our lives are the results of circumstances? I believe as true believers, people who believe that God is for us, He's not against us, that He is good for us, that we can actually have a positive outlook in life. In fact, the Bible tells us that God will bring good into our lives through every single circumstance that we go through. We are not the result just of perchance or by happenings. God is in ultimate control. He knows every infinite and finite detail. He reigns supreme. He's the sovereign God who knows exactly the number of hairs on your head. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen 20 years down the line. We can trust God. And we can trust these promises that they will bring good into our lives. I think that's something we can be encouraged about this morning. But sometimes we can feel like that and we can ask ourselves, what's going on? What's happening in life? But the encouragement to each of us this morning is that God has promised good in every circumstance. It may not feel good. It may not be very enjoyable, but He will bring good from it. That's the promise of God this morning. The Bible talks about different things of promises, and one that I wanted to look at today, the word never appears in the Bible, but we know it is providence. Providence is the word we use to describe God's beneficial rule over all the events of life. It's probably famously summed up in Romans 8:28 in the New Testament. God is working in all things for our good and for His glory. God rules and overrules the circumstances of life, guiding and protecting His people. Essentially, it promises that nothing will touch our lives that is not under the control and the direction of our loving Heavenly Father. Everything we do and say, everything that people do to us or say about us, every experience we will ever have are all sovereignly used by God for good. We may not understand the good. It may not be an enjoyable experience, but God will use everything that we go through for our good. There's the unseen hand of God. You've maybe heard that said before. Maybe you're just new to church. You've never heard that before. The hand of God. It's like a chess player who's moving all the pieces into position. God is aligning us into His will. Or it's like the hand of the weaver who is designing or making a tapestry, using all different colors of threads. And Corrie ten Boom in her great poem says that the dark threads are just as necessary as the brightly colored threads to be able to reveal the design that the designer intended. God can use all things. God can use every single circumstance that we go through. Even the place you find yourself at today, God can use that for our good. God is doing an unseen work that we are unaware of. It's been said that God is doing more behind our back than He is in front of our faces. Often in life, we don't understand, we don't see why things are happening. Why could that possibly happen? Why does it make sense? I don't understand. You might be there today. Why does this keep happening? But God is doing so much more behind your back than He is in front of your face. And his promise to us this morning is that good can come from that. And I want to encourage you today, because I want to remind us as well that life ain't a walk in the park sometimes. Things are difficult, things are hard, but there's hope. God has promised that he will work for the good of those who are loved and are called according to his purpose. Whatever it is, whatever you're facing, good can come from it today. Turn with me then into that incredible chapter in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans is in the New Testament. We've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then we go to Acts, and then you'll find the book of Romans. And this is an amazing part and probably one of the most incredible chapters in our Bible. Paul tells us here, and in my Bible, it's titled Present Suffering and Future Glory. And in Romans 8, it tells us about life in the Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is our help, how the Holy Spirit helps us to pray when we don't even know what to say. It tells us about the incredible that we are adopted into God's family. It tells us of a hope of the resurrection and the glory that is ahead of us. And then about two-thirds through, we see these verses from verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Father, I thank you that, Lord, even before the foundation of this world, you knew about this moment. You knew about us, and you made provision for us. Your word tells us that Jesus is the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of this earth. And Father, we recognize today that all our days are held in your hands, that you have orchestrated everything so that we could be here today and in this moment. We can trust you with our future. Lord, we want to say thank you, Lord, for the valleys that we've came through and how you've walked with us. You've been with us every step of the journey. Things that we understood, others that we could not even begin to fathom, but you were there all along. We say thank you for your faithfulness, for your goodness. And Father, I pray over these next few moments, will you remind us of this glad and great promise that you are for us, you're not against us. And remind us today, Lord, that even though we go through hard times and challenges, Lord, you will bring good for us. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Familiar verse that you've probably maybe heard before. God is going to work good in all things for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Hey, you've maybe even got it in your Bible today highlighted. It could even be on your bookmark. It's maybe on a fridge magnet. It's maybe on the wall of your house. Maybe somebody gave it to you as a key verse when you got baptized or something from that. But this scripture has got to go from a fridge magnet into our hearts. If it's just nice words, if it's just a good sentiment, then these words are really empty. But if this is true, we can live our lives according to this. That even though we go through challenges like Paul, who was persecuted, who was oppressed, who feared for his life at times, he could say, God will work these things for good. We can do that in our life as well. So it's going to go from a fridge magnet into our hearts. It's more than a bumper sticker. It's more than something that's nice. It's actually the word of God, and it's a promise that came from heaven. This verse says to those who love God and are doing their best to obey his commands, that nothing sad or bad or evil or wicked that will touch our life will be ultimately for our bad, but for our good. This isn't a license for us just to live as we please and hope God's going to clear up the mess. This promise is for true believers, those who love God, but also who God has called according to his purposes. This isn't for people who do not believe. This is for those who love God and are called according to their purposes. If you're here today, you're a true believer, you believe Jesus Christ is the Lord and that he died in your place, you can take this promise to the bank that God will work all things, in all things, for your good. in the 17th century, when the Church of England and the Church of Scotland were aligning together at this point, they put together the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And really, this was a document that helped them to teach new converts. And the very first thing on the Westminster Shorter Catechism is this question: what is the chief end of man? What is really the purpose of us being here? What is it all about? Why are we alive? Why do we have breath in our bodies? Why did God spare us? And the answer is this: man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Oh, what a great thought this morning, that my life can bring glory to God. And in all things that I go through, my life can bring glory to God, but also that I can enjoy Him forever. Did you enjoy worship this morning? Did you enjoy God today? And we've a great promise of eternity that we'll enjoy Him forever. And to understand life and to try and understand the challenges that we go through, when you remember what the goal is, that my life is to bring glory to God, not everything to be as I would want, not everything to be comfortable, not everybody to align to my preferences, but my life is to bring glory to God. And when you understand that, when you remember that God is working good in all things and for His glory, that can help us get through a lot of dark nights, a lot of troubling situations, when we remember He's working for my good, for His glory. Sometimes we can share scriptures, and this is a classic that can sometimes seem quite glib. When you're going through a challenging times, you're in a hard place, and someone says to you, hey, God's working good for you in this situation. Something good is going to come through. Now, I believe that's true, but sometimes that can be insensitive to say. You know, times in life when somebody maybe you trusted let you down, or maybe you're going through an illness which you thought was going to be a short-term illness, but you're now years down the line, and you still haven't had your healing. Or maybe you had something, a plan that came together, and you thought, this is going to work, this is going to solve all my problems, all my financial problems, and then it never materialized. Or maybe there was that relationship you were in, and he never called again. Or maybe there was that child that you raised, and they've made decisions which are contrary to the morals that you've brought them up in. Does God use these situations for good? Do you believe today that even in the broken and in the disappointments, in the heartache, in the letdowns, God can use these for good? That sometimes in the most darkest times of our lives, God does the most. And we may not understand it at the time. We may not even understand it in this life. But God has promised this, that in all things, He is working for good. Paul says, we know. Paul is making a statement on his experience, but he's appealing to the people here in Rome. We know this. We know this. We've been through some stuff. This is a faith statement based on his previous experience. He's been through life long enough to know that there are challenges, there are difficult times, but we know that God will work this for our good. I wonder, can you look back to times in your life and you've gone through these challenges, and you've been at your wit's end during them? Or maybe it's been a constant struggle, and you've yet to find that breakthrough. Can you look back to times where you recognize that God has actually done good things in that? I learned this lesson. I knew never to do that again. I learned to trust Him more. Often, we want everything to be perfect. But what I'm learning is sometimes when things are imperfect, it's when I pray more. It's when I'm closer to God. And He's looking on, and I'm thinking, why don't you fix this? And He's looking and says, I've never known you so well. God will use all things for our good. We know. Do you know that this morning? Are you far enough on your Christian life that you can say with confidence, even though things have been hard, I know He's working this for my good? Adrian Rogers says this, that this is not conjuncture. This is not happenstance. This is not perhaps. This is not maybe. This is ironclad certainty. We know that all things work together for good. We know God. We know what God is like. Our experience confirms what we already know to be true, that God is good, that God is faithful, and He will be faithful to the end. Do you know this? That in all things, not some things, not just the good things, but even the bad things He allows, God is our Redeemer. God specializes in taking good from bad. God is just amazing how He can take the worst of circumstances and situations and can redeem it. Sometimes that's by complete transformation, or sometimes that's learning a valuable life lesson. Joseph is Pastor Neil's favorite Bible character, and he's picked a very good choice there. Because Joseph's life teaches us so many lessons. Joseph ends up in the palace of Pharaoh as one of the most influential people in Egypt and all around that part of the world. But who knows this morning that Joseph would never have left his father's house if it was up to him? Why would he? He was number one son. He was the golden boy. He had everything he could ever want in his own house. Why would he want to go? He was his father's favorite, and he made sure all his brothers knew it. Why would he want to leave his father's house? And we know the story so well that he gets the gift of interpretation of dreams, and he tells his brothers about a dream that he has, and his brothers, that's the final straw. That's the straw that broke the camel's back for them. They're fed up of him. And they make a decision that they're going to fake his death, throw him in a pit, and then sell him to traders who come by and tell their dad that Joseph was killed by wild animals and he's dead. Traders will go past and they see him in that pit and they agree to purchase him and they take him off to Egypt. He ends up a slave in Potiphar's house, and then his Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him of something he did not do. So he's came from a pit, he's in Potiphar's house, and now he ends up in prison for something he did not do. He makes a couple of friends there, a baker and a cupbearer. And they both have dreams, and he interprets both of their dreams. The baker doesn't end up too good, but the cupbearer, he escapes. And Joseph pleads with him, "Remember me, remember me." And then the Bible tells us the cupbearer forgot all about him. But then there came a moment when Pharaoh was having dreams and no one could interpret it. And in that opportune moment, God placed in the cupbearer's memory Joseph, who could interpret dreams. Joseph is taken from prison. He's dressed up. He's looking good. He interprets the dream for Pharaoh. Pharaoh puts him in charge of so much of what was going on in their kingship. You see, God had a greater plan for Joseph's life than Joseph had. He's got a greater plan for you than even what you could even come up with. You see, there comes a point later in Joseph's story where his brothers come to him and he says these words, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish which is now being done, the saving of many lives." Where are you just now? Don't give up. Don't give up. You may feel like you're in that pit, or you're in that prison, or maybe you're on your way to somewhere good, but I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up. Pain is one of the biggest lessons we'll learn in life. Don't waste it. Learn from it. If you're going to go through it anyway, you might as well learn from it. And all along Joseph's life, he was learning, being prepared. Everything was about positioning and preparing him to where God wanted him to be. Just because you're in a pit doesn't mean you have to remain pitiful. Just because you've been betrayed doesn't mean you have to live your life bitter. Just because you've been let down doesn't mean you've got to stay there. Learn from it. Keep on going. God's got a greater plan for your life, and God has promised that good will come through all things. We all add salt to our food because it brings taste and flavor to what we eat. But sodium on itself is deadly poison. So is chloride. It's not good for you. But when these things are combined together, they bring taste and flavor into everything that we eat. And life is no different. We get all these things coming together in our life so that they will add taste and flavor and improvement and good into our lives. If it was only one, if it was just the sodium, it would be harmful. But when it comes together, it's good for us. God is working all things together for our good. Joseph is an inspiration to us, and then later in the Bible, but earlier we read of or hear of Job. Job is blameless before God. There's no one like him in the whole world. And we open up the book of Job, and there's this discussion going on in heaven between God and some of his angels, and Satan appears. And God asks him, what have you been doing? He says, I've been roaming all around the earth. Still does it yet, looking for people who he can devour. And God asks him, what have you been up to? And he says, hey, have you thought about Job? Do you know Job? He says, oh yeah, I know Job. I can't get near him because you have put such a hedge of protection around him. And Satan says to God, I bet if you were to remove that, he would curse you immediately. So God says, okay, let's see. And God allows so much to happen to Job. His family, his wealth, everything he belongs is taken away from him. But he didn't curse God. Satan goes back to heaven and God says, hey, what happened? Like he didn't know. What happened? He says, no, he didn't. But I bet you if I was to touch him, I bet you if you were to take his health away from him, he'll curse you. So God allows it. The Bible tells us that Job would use clay pots to pick his skin. It was so diseased. And his wife, isn't it interesting that he didn't take his wife away? The wife comes and says to him, you should curse God and take your own life. And then Job says these words, you are talking like a foolish woman. Never say that to your wife. Write that down. That's a note for you. Shall we accept from God? Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? One of the most mature and probably earliest things that's ever recorded. Shall we only accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. If you came to know Jesus and someone told you that everything was going to be perfect, I'm sorry, they lied to you. If someone told you that everything will go exactly the way you want it and everything will go perfectly, everybody will agree with you, everybody will be nice to you, everything's just going to be rosy, I'm sorry. But what I can promise you today is that even through the trouble, even through the hard times, there will be someone there who will help you, who will sustain you, and has promised will work good for you. He never cursed God. There you go, Satan. He never cursed God. In fact, he remained loyal to God. Even his friends, they told him to turn his back and go, but he remained faithful to God. And the Bible tells us later in the book of Job that his latter days were more blessed than his former days, that God blessed him twice as much as he had previously in life. Why? Because Job was wise enough to know that even through the trouble, God would use it for his good. Job's life teaches us this. If you've got everything without God, you've got nothing. And if you've got nothing and all you've got is God, you've got everything. Everything. All you'll ever need, all you'll ever want is found in him. That's the story of Job's life. I saw a tweet yesterday. It said this, Pastor Stephen Furtick. He said, what would happen if you stopped asking God, why am I going through this? And started asking God, what are you preparing me for? What is it you're going through right now? And you are asking, why? Why? Why is this happening? I wonder if we were to flip that question and say, God, there must be something great in store for me. There must be something good in store for me. There must be something you're going to work in this place or do something in me or in the people in my world. What are you preparing me for? You see, the first is looking for an answer, looking for something. The second one is asking, Lord, what are you teaching me? I want to learn here. I don't want a quick fix. I want to be more like you. Remember what the goal is this morning? To bring glory to God. We read in the book of Ecclesiastes these words, He has made everything, everything beautiful in His time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. He's made everything beautiful. Don't give up this morning. God is working it out for good. It will be beautiful as He intended it to be, but in His time. And it will cause you to wonder at His greatness. One of the challenges for me is trying to get God in line with my timetable. Maybe you can relate to this. But things seem to go on for too long. Like, come on, God, why has that not happened yet? Why is this taking that person so long? Why aren't they not getting it? God is still in control. And He will make everything beautiful in His time. Don't give up this morning. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a purpose in life. Everything we face is an opportunity to follow the example of Jesus. Every trial, test, and situation in life, and we will face many of them, is another opportunity for us to be more like Jesus. If you want to be more like Jesus, if you want to be like what Paul says, conform to His image, then you will go through these times, but every time is a chance for you to be more like Him. God uses these experiences to build our character, our Christian character within us. He's conforming us to be more like His Son, Jesus, and conforming us and getting us ready for that final glory that we will all experience. What's promised here is not every difficult experience will lead to something that we would prefer or everything that we would want, but it will ultimately be for our good. And the good may not be just in this life. It could be what's ahead of us. But God's in control. Joni Erickson-Tada, she's an inspirational speaker. Some of you will know her name, be familiar with her story. She was, in her teenage years, very, very sporty, very keen on swimming, horse riding, different things. And in her early teens, she was out swimming in the Chesapeake Bay, and she misjudged the depth of the water, and she dived into the water and had a terrible accident where she was paralyzed from the neck down. And for more than 40 years, she's been bound in a wheelchair, a quadriplegic, and bound in a wheelchair. And she's used the rest of her life to bring hope to people that even through the most tragic of circumstances, that God can use it for good. She's been asked that, why does God allow suffering? She says, God allows what He hates to accomplish what He loves. God allows what He hates to accomplish what He loves. What does God love? For people to enter into relationship with Himself and to become more like Him. She goes on to say, God allows everything into our lives for one of two purposes, either to bring us into relationship with Himself, or if we already know Him, to make us more like His Son. God is more concerned with conforming me to His likeness, the likeness of His Son, than leaving me in my comfort zones. God is more interested in my inward qualities than outward circumstances. Things like refining my faith, humbling my heart, cleaning up my thought life, and strengthening my character. If anybody knows suffering, if anybody knows what it's like to suffer and wonder why God, it would be Joni. But Joni has made a choice that even in the midst of the bad things, even in the midst of the challenges, even in the midst of her tragic accident, God has used it for good. It was only 5 or 7 years ago she was diagnosed with breast cancer, but continues to go around the world inspiring people that even through the most challenges of circumstances, God will work it for good. Why? Because he uses it. He uses it to achieve his goal. He uses it to achieve the goal. What's the goal? To bring glory to God, but to conform us to the image of his Son. God is not working to make us happy. God is not, and that doesn't mean we shouldn't be happy. God is working to fulfill his purpose. The goal is not to make life comfortable and everything to fall in line with me. But God is working in every single situation to achieve the goal of our life, to be more like Jesus and to bring glory to God. How can we become more like Jesus? How do we become more like him? Well, God gives us opportunities, these bad things, these challenges, hey, even good things as well, to be more like him. But he's given us the gift of the Bible, that we can read the Gospels and we can see how Jesus lived and acted, responded. That we can look through the whole Bible and see this is God's heart, this is how God works, and this is God's desire for me. When we spend time reading, when we spend time in his presence, when there's things we don't understand, we go on that journey of discovery. We become more like him. God will give you another opportunity to be more like him. There's an incredible character, just as I bring this to an end. The band can come at this time. In the New Testament, we don't hear much about him. You've maybe never even recognized his name, but his name was Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave. And he was a slave, and he was on the run from his slave owner, whose name was Philemon. And whilst he's on the run, he encounters Paul, who is in prison. And through the influence of Paul, Onesimus gives his life to Jesus. His life is transformed. But Paul knows Onesimus' slave owner, Philemon. And Paul writes a letter to Philemon and says, hey, you need to do something about Onesimus because his life has changed. Something dramatic has happened in his life. In fact, I encourage you to bring him back. If he's done any wrong to you, if he owes you any money, I will pay it for you. But this guy has changed. God will put you in places. He will put you next to people who maybe you do not understand or can't fathom. But he will put you into circumstances for your good. Onesimus didn't realize what was going on there. How could he have known that Paul was able to speak up for him and vouch for him? But God used even the circumstance of Paul in prison, not just for his good, but for the good of someone else. What is it you're going through today that maybe you could help someone else? Maybe God has got you somewhere where you would decide or choose not to be, but he's placed you there not just for your good, but for the good of others. Could you be like Paul, who could maybe do something that would have a huge help and impact on someone else's life? See, nothing's wasted in life. Nothing is wasted. Every painful situation, every challenge, every difficult thing that you have been through, God will bring good from that. That's the hope this morning. That's the hope today. The good news today is that we are not just as a result of just how things happen. Whatever will be, but actually, God is in control. And that whatever he allows it for our good. Doesn't mean we always understand. Doesn't mean it's enjoyable. But it's for his glory. And he'll use it to conform us to his image. Come on, church, let's stand this morning. Father, we're here today and we recognize and we're so aware that we're all going through things and we all face stuff in life. And Lord, we're so grateful for these great promises. Lord, if we did not have these promises, Lord, our lives would be full of so much despair and discouragement. But you have spoken to us already in your word. And you have reminded us, Lord, of your character, of your goodness. So, Father, we come to you today. And Lord, for everything that we are going through or have been through, things that we do not understand, things that we would have preferred not to go through, we say today, we trust you, God. And Father, I pray in this moment, Lord, for people, Lord, that maybe if there's going to be a sense of release today, you've been holding on to something, and even you've maybe been blaming God, thinking that he was punishing you for something. But actually, he was just trying to teach us a lesson. Father, I pray for healing in hearts today. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would not lose sight of this great promise in our life. Lord, let it go from the fridge magnet. Let it go from just nice sentiment to truth in our hearts and in our lives. Whatever we're going through today, Lord, what are you preparing me for? What are you doing within me, Lord? Lord, teach me the lessons. Let nothing be wasted. Lord, for the pain, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would salvage everything that you would have for us. And Father, right now, I pray for every circumstance and all things that people are going through right now. Lord, for some, Lord, it is a trying time. For some, it is a major health issue. For some today, Lord, it is a long time experience where you've yet to see breakthrough or healing. But Lord, I come right now and I pray, Lord. Lord, I pray and ask, Lord, that you will use this for good as you have promised. Come on, as we're here this morning, I want to encourage you to raise your own prayer right now. What are you going through? Heaven hears you today. Father, I pray your people will know that you love them, that you desire good for them. Father, I pray for children today that have made decisions and lifestyle choices which were not the choices or morals that families, that parents raise their families with. Lord, I pray right now, in your presence we are here. And Lord, I pray, wherever they are right now, Holy Spirit, will you warm their hearts? Will you draw them closer to you? Lord, some probably maybe had a heavy night last night. Some maybe are living and making choices which are not good. Father, I pray that in the midst of this, nothing will be wasted. That you specialize in redemption. And you specialize, as we heard in last week, of restoration. So Father, for everything that the enemy has stolen from us, the locusts may have eaten, Lord. Father, I pray that you would bring redemption and restoration into these circumstances. Father, I pray for healing for long-term sicknesses. Oh, God. Come on, hey, maybe you need that today. I encourage you, raise your voice. Oh, God, it's been so long. It's taken so long. But Lord, we know you're doing a work for our good and for your glory. But Lord, we believe. We believe today for healing. We believe for transformation. We believe you'll turn these situations around and you will receive all the glory. So hey, you're here today and maybe you've never experienced that transformation I spoke about a few moments ago. Maybe you've never made a decision to make Jesus Lord of your life. Well, I want to give you an opportunity today because that will ultimately not just determine or change this life, but your next life as well. And maybe you've gone through this life and you have faced challenging times and you have felt completely overwhelmed, completely lost. Well, I want to introduce you to a friend today. His name's Jesus. And he wants to be your friend and he wants to be in relationship with you. And you've possibly been in church all your life, or maybe this is the first time you've ever been in this very building. You're here today because God is looking for you and he wants to be in relationship with you. So as every head is bowed and each eye is closed, we're going to respect this moment. We're so aware of your presence here today, Lord. Holy Spirit, Lord, will you do your work today? You're here today, and you'd say, I want to know Jesus. I need to make that decision. If that's you, can you help me so I can see by just raising your hand, and we'll all pray together and help each other. You're here and you say, I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want that friend. I need that help in my life. I'm going through this challenge and I need that. If that's you today, will you please raise your hand? Father, today, as we've looked at this great promise, Lord, I thank you that it is an amazing hope. You are good and you are working good for us. So, Father, we will not leave from here defeated or discouraged, but we will leave with our heads held high because you have promised good and you have promised that you will work all things together, all things, and all things for your good. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that we would not just use this verse to look back on things, but we would go into the future with this in our forefront, that no matter what we face, no matter where we go, you're going to work it for your good and for our good. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.